Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Welcome to Q Ideas. I'm Gabe Lyons, and today we're talking about cities and why cities matter. And this is a passion of ours at Q because we understand that change really happens on the ground. It happens locally. So while we think well about issues, while we try to engage and make sure we're aware of the conversations happening and how to engage those well, the real advancing of good always happens with those closest to us and usually around topics and issues we care about locally that are affecting our neighbors. You know, we do have neighbors. We have global neighbors. We have neighbors that live across the country. But there's nothing like boiling this down to the person that lives across the street or the person who shares in the school that you participate in with your children or the person that's going to the local coffee shop or the businesses or participating in the local government or volunteering at the local school. In so many ways, local is where our lives are obviously lived, and how we think about our role in our cities matters, and it's going to matter more and more as time goes forward. You know, one of the things we've learned and seen as people project out populations is that the majority of the world is moving into cities, that people want to be in environments where they're walkable, where their life starts to overlap, where there's more proximity. We see younger generations gravitating towards this way of life. And for many people, it's all they've ever known. But for some, they've never quite experienced life in that way. They've grown up in rural environments or never quite had that experience. And it's one of those things where Rebecca and I, when we lived in New York City, we had this experience where we started to understand why people love New York City, why they love living in proximity. And it forever shaped the way in which we've decided to live our life going forward, to where we want proximity. We want overlapping relationships. We want to be participating more closely to where we live and not spending as much time commuting or driving in cars or spending so much of our time wasted and not able to actually understand how our communities are being affected and how we can have a role in it. Of course, the local church is a huge part of this. You know, the church has a call to be in the midst of the conversations happening in our cities, to care about our cities, to make sure that the people who come to our churches understand that they have a role, not just to evangelize the people in our communities, but to actually be a part of renewal, of trying to find the things that are broken and fix those things by letting the Holy Spirit transform real people and also institutions. And so that's a lot of chatter about cities because I want you to hear in the next 7 minutes, a talk and an interview conversation we had with Chris Horst. And Chris is somebody who's been a partner with Q in many ways. He, in his own right, is an incredible leader with an organization called Hope International. And with Hope International, they do microfinance. They understand what it means to invest in real people's lives in local communities as a local bank all around the world. They exist in over 16 countries, and so they're very good at understanding how to create change by using economies, by helping maximize the empowerment that individuals feel to go and build and to create culture in their local area. And so we talked with Chris about specifically his own life in Denver, because personally, Chris has been very involved in what it means to shape the city of Denver where he lives with his friends. And there's a community of leaders now in the Denver area who have been working together over many, many years to be a part of contributing to their city. And so I want us to listen in and hear how he's thinking about cities, why cities matter, and why we at Q feel called to be a part of the work of cultural renewal as part of how the kingdom of God moves forward, how we can think well about that. Welcome, Chris Horst from Denver, please. So here's a few facts. After Q 2 years ago in Portland, we had a deep conversation with a couple of people from Denver. It was Stephen Redden, Jared Mackey, and Chris Horst about the potential of, could we take Q from this national event where we do it for 3 days and do something local. And that was something that was in our heart too. How do we localize this instead of you just coming out to one location? You go back and you maybe met one friend from your city, but it was hard to kind of get movement. And so we decided to experiment with this. And back in September of this past year, we had our first event, Q Cities Denver. 200 leaders showing up from the Denver area, focused only on Denver. One day of talks, 18 different presentations that took place in that one day. And it was the beginning of something pretty cool in Denver. And I thought Chris could probably better tell you about what's happening in Denver more than I can. But I guess first question, why would you guys decide to, like, pursue this? Because you guys were hunting me down, saying, we got to do this. What was going on there?
Well, we love Q. And so we just asked the question, what if we could bottle up all this common good goodness and bring it to our city? And so that was really the question was, could we bring it to Denver? Yeah. And Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And for us, you know, human flourishing starts at home. And so we needed to start with where we dwelled, and that's Denver.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite memories from this past fall?
Two things, a capstone to the event and then a lasting outcome. The capstone was the very last thing we did in the day. Was one of the most respected figures in our city, Robert Gelinas, ended with an 18-minute love letter to Denver. And during that talk, he just communicated beautifully why he loved our city. And we ended with everyone standing, and he said a prayer for our city, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Just really this commissioning call to the people of Denver and the church to embrace our city. And the second was the guy who was there named Jeff Hanen. He came with the seed of an idea and left with the fire in his belly to do something about it. And he left and founded an organization called the Denver Institute for Faith and Work, which is going to have lasting repercussions in our city, encouraging Christians in their vocations and in their work.
I'd love to introduce Jared. Where's Jared and Steven? Are you guys around somewhere? Stand up. Guys, these are the guys who helped do this. Give them a hand for their leadership. And we don't need to worry about the clock. Nobody else has. Okay? So just act like that's not even part of the event this year, and we'll just keep going. Why did you feel like Denver needed this event? Get comfortable. Just settle in. Why did you guys feel like this was something? I mean, why did you feel like your city was maybe ready for something like this?
Yeah, three reasons. One, we wanted to unearth and celebrate the untold stories of God at work in our city. That was the first reason. Second, we wanted to bring together Coloradans across ecumenical and vocational lines. Lawyers, Lutherans, authors, pastors. We wanted to bring together the whole church. And third, we wanted to take on really sticky issues. We wanted to take on gay marriage. We wanted to talk about the legalization of marijuana. The Mile High City took on new meaning this past year. And we also wanted to talk about the failure of our education system for our most vulnerable kids in our city.
Yeah. So all our topics at Denver, just so you know, focused on Denver. And all the presenters, except for myself and Sky Gitani, who came in, were all local leaders. I mean, we had urban architects there talking about the latest neighborhoods they're developing. I mean, it was a beautiful local artists that created beautiful art.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really cool thing. I mean, how did you see what happened those 15 hours we were together? How has that started to affect how Christian leaders within your city are starting to respond?
Well, I mean, I've had conversations even this week with folks who I didn't even know went to the event, who came from Denver to be here. And the thing I've heard the most, it just stirred their imagination. Mm. It stirred their thoughts beyond sort of their own industry and their own sector and their own church. And they got to meet a lot of really incredible leaders from all different slices of the church within our city. So that I think is, it's just stirred creativity within the church.
It was cool for me coming from the outside to sit back and see leaders who've, again, you guys have been doing great work in Denver. It was awesome. Q just became this place to kind of give a stage to it and a platform for people to work together and celebrate.
Right.
Some things, and Robert, who closed out the event, just saying, you know, we've all been working on this stuff, but we've never all sat in the same room.
Well, and I would say, you know, we could have gathered 200 church leaders and done a potluck in a basement of a church somewhere.
Right.
That would have been possible. But we really wanted to elevate the dialogue and have conversations of significance and an event that was up to that task. And so Q really brought the horsepower and the creative engine to bear on that event and took it from being just any old event that we could do in Denver to something that was really significant and lasting.
It was great partnering with you guys. And I know, you know, by talking about this, I know there's some of you sitting there going, we need to do this in our city. Some of you are saying, no way. But for those of you who are saying, this is something you're interested in, I mean, for us, this is a slow moving thing. We don't have a plan. We're not trying to roll out 10 cities this year that would do this. But we wanted to share with you a story of one way that we've started to create, and we did it together. It was a mutual relationship. It would not have happened without leaders on the ground saying, we want this and we're going to work on it, give a lot of time and energy to it. But it was an amazing success. It was so encouraging for me to see it's kind of founding this thing, to see it starting to expand and go way beyond me and start to move. And I'm excited about where God might want to take all this.
Well, I once heard a talk by a guy named Mark Burnett, and he said, he said, if you wait for certainty, guess what happens? Nothing. Yeah. I don't remember who interviewed him, but he said that comment. And I think if you're out there and you're thinking, should we pursue this or not? I'll just tell you that all you have to do is put your hand to it. It was a gift to Denver. It was a gift that day, and it continues to be a gift to our city. So I'd encourage you to at least think about it.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you all. Let's thank Chris for their leadership. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Chris Horst. It's exciting to hear him talk about, and you can hear his passion for caring about his city. And I think for all of us listening, think about what would that mean for you to care about your city? I know you don't have a lot of margin. I know you're busy. I know, you know, you're running around, running errands, dropping children off at different sports activities and recreationally involved. And then you're showing up at church on Sunday morning. You're saying, I don't have time to get involved in my city. I think what we hear from Chris's story, and as we continue on in this show, you're going to hear even more about why it matters, why for Christians this matters, why this is actually one of the areas in our life that we have to develop. We have to cultivate margin for it, because God's called us to care about our neighbors and care about our communities. And one of the things you heard Chris mention was Q Commons, something that we've been able to partner with them in Denver on, and we've also been able to do that in Minneapolis and so many other cities listening to this today, to where we're able to, on October 26, 2017, you can plan now to be a part of an evening that will focus on your city, that's going to help you better understand what are the needs of your city, how are people getting involved and engaged, and this Q Commons event is one way that you can get involved, and you can learn more about that at qcommons.com. Well, as we continue on in this episode, we're now going to shift to actually hearing from somebody who decided many, many years ago to move into a community that now is being talked about as one of the most dangerous and violent cities, the city of Chicago. In 2016, there were 796 homicides, and now this is becoming a political football. How are we going to stop the violence? How are people going to get involved? And you're going to hear from Wayne Gordon, somebody who decided to move into this community, started a Bible study for high school kids in North Lawndale, Chicago. And people warned them even then that as a white couple, moving into a predominantly non-white neighborhood could be a recipe for disaster. But as you're going to hear from Wayne, he not only became the pastor of Lawndale Community Church, but he started to create a church that wasn't just going to think about church on Sunday mornings and people showing up at a building. But this was going to be a church that was going to be a signpost for the kingdom of God. It was going to extend its arms and hands into every area of the community that they touched and every need that the people of their church were experiencing. And it's an amazing story to see all that they've been able to do. So let's listen in more to Wayne Gordon.
Well, my first year of teaching at Farragut, I inherited a class second semester, and the teacher before me had a seating chart, and I walked into the classroom, and there was a seat in the front that was empty for the first few days, and the student just didn't come. And pretty soon I looked up the name and looked in the grade book and saw that this student hadn't been coming to school, so I called the phone number in the phone book, and no answer, and the phone was disconnected. I wrote a note, I think, if I remember right, and I wrote a note to the address, and it came back address unknown. And so I, after a couple weeks of this, I finally got a little creative and I said, does anybody know where this young man is who sits in this seat right here? And pretty soon, one of the kids in the back says, oh, coach, you mean Top Cat. Well, I didn't know his nickname, but yeah, okay, Top Cat. Anybody know anything about Top Cat? They said, well, sure. I said, does Top Cat ever come to school? They said, yeah, he gets here. He works at a gas station all night. And so he works all night. He goes home and he takes a little nap and he doesn't get here till division, which what you call homeroom in Chicago. And I said, well, if you ever see Top Cat in the hallway and you see me, will you introduce me? Because he's failing our class. That afternoon, I'm walking down the hallway at Farragut, and all of a sudden, I heard one of my students say, Mr. Gordon, coach, come here. And then I heard him say, Top Cat, come here. And I met Top Cat in the middle of the hallway. I shook his hand. I said, Top Cat, I'm your first period teacher, and you haven't been to class. You're failing the class because you haven't been coming. I said, I know you can pass the class. And I kind of grabbed him by the shoulders, and I just looked him in the eye and says, Top Cat, I know you can pass this class, but you got to come to class. Top Cat looked me right back in the eye. He said, Mr. Gordon, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, sure enough, the next morning, 7:45, when I walked into my classroom, Top Cat was a man of his word. I walked into that room, and there in that seat for the first time was Top Cat. Now, Top Cat was the kind of guy, if you're a school teacher, you really hope you get to teach. Because he went from a failing student to a D to a C to a B to a straight A student. He became my most prized student. Never tardy, never late, always there. But then one day I walked into the classroom about 3 months later and the seat was empty. I waited 3 or 4 minutes and all of a sudden I realized Top Cat probably wasn't going to be there. And I said to the rest of the class, I said, wow, this is the first time Top Cat hasn't been to class since he started coming back. Does anybody know anything about Top Cat? And a student in the back room, coach, you didn't hear about Top Cat? I said, no, hear what? They said, yeah, there was a holdup up at the gas station where he works. He got shot last night. He's dead. And it was almost like they told me he had a bad cold. I remember that day so well. I remember sitting at my desk that day. Tears began to stream down my cheeks. I quickly went home. I looked in all the newspapers. No story about Top Cat. Looked in all the TV shows, TV stations. No story about Top Cat. I couldn't even find out when Top Cat's funeral was. And I didn't get to go to his funeral. You see, Top Cat is one of those nameless, faceless people that we call statistics. You see, in Chicago right now, we've had more young people murdered and shot and killed with guns than our military in Afghanistan and Iraq put together so far this year. And it seems like nobody really cares. We have the equivalent of Columbine over and over again, but there is no public outcry. There is no national weeping. But our poverty in America is so different than poverty in other parts of the world. The poverty in America is a poverty of violence. That violence has stemmed from this. Now, the very best way to deal with this is what we do in CCDA, Christian Community Development. One of our core philosophies is what we call relocation or live in the neighborhood. And we live in the neighborhood. Now, you might have seen that movie, Blindside. And, you know, everybody thinks Sandra Bullock is this wonderful person and that she goes into the inner city. She gets one kid out, brings him, lives with him. Well, I want to let you know that's the opposite of my wife. My wife, Ann, is 35 zeros times what happened then. She didn't go into the neighborhood and pull one out. My wife moved into Lawndale and lives there today. She's the hero of our relationship. She's the one that is nurturing all the people there and we live our lives. Our family couldn't be there without my wife. We couldn't have raised our three children. And so we live out our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you here may be called to do that. And we have some CCDA friends that are doing that here that are with us at Q. But most of you probably aren't. But I want to let you know that the way you can be a part of this, there's still some things that you can do. You may not live in poverty neighborhoods in America, but there's some things that you can do. The first thing you can do is that you can be a listener. You see, what happens is most of the time when you come and help somebody that's poor, you don't go as a listener. We don't go as listeners. We go as people in charge. We know what we're going to do. One day my son Andrew said to me, he said to him, Dad, why do you let all these white people come into our neighborhood? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, when they come in, and see, my son grew up there. He grew up in this African-American neighborhood. He understood both cultures a little bit. He says, Dad, what happens is that all these white people come in, they do a little work one day. And Dad, they really don't do much. I mean, they paint a room, they fix a porch, they do a few things. And then when they leave, I've heard them talk, Dad. They think they've really done something big, but nothing has changed. But he said, Dad, what's even harder is that our people, when they come, I watch our friends, our neighbors from our church, is when they come, they step back. And when the white people leave, they feel inferior to them. And it makes them feel bad. You see, we've got to start coming as listeners. And then we must, you know what? One thing you could do to make you better is this year, go home, make And for the next year, develop a deep relationship with a person of color. And then next year, bring them back to Q with you. And so that all of our tables won't be majority white, but we'll have a sprinkling of people of color because we've got to listen. And if they're not at the dialogue, they're not at our table, we're not hearing their voice. We're solving the problems of the poor without listening to the poor. The second thing you can do is not only when you listen, then make sure that you're a learner. I can honestly tell you, 35 years in Lawndale, that the people of Lawndale have taught me far more than I've taught them. It's been a wonderful experience to do that. And then the last one is to be people that have longevity, that we stay for a while, that we do this. I often tell people, if you're not going to get involved in a relationship for at least 15 years, if you're not going to be involved with something in an African-American or Latino poor community, don't do it if you're not going to be there for the next 15 years. These little sidebars do more harm than good. Mark Melnati, Rick Melnati are the great. If you want Chicago deep dish pizza, you need to know it's not any of these names that are out there. The number one by everybody's standards is Lou Melnati's, all right? Lou Melnati said, thank you for anybody from Chicago. Now, the Melnati family came and we began friends and we began to dialogue. But you know what they did? They opened up a pizzeria in Lawndale. And they, for the last 15 years, they've been operating it. The first year we operated it, Mark Melnati came to me and says, Coach, this isn't working. I said, what do you mean? He said, we lost last year $170,000. He said, let me write you a check right now and we'll just close the restaurant. I said, Mark, if you wrote me that check today, there's no way I could do the good that this restaurant does here in our community. And so for the last 15 years, the Melnati's have invested over $1 million. Plus, it's been a place that we've been able to raise up. We do job training there. We hire people from the community and it's made an unbelievable difference. Or maybe you're like John. And John, what John did, John committed himself to Rudy and he's been a long time commitment to Rudy. He's helped Rudy get a place to shine shoes in downtown Chicago, even though Rudy often falls off the wagon and uses drugs again. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
I want to personally invite you to come and join us in person April 26th to 28th in Nashville for Q 2017. We could not be more excited about the conversation that's going to take place over these 3 days and the people that you're going to meet. People come from all types of industries and walks of life, but they come with a common purpose and a common vision. And that is to say, how do I be faithful in the place God's called me? Not only in the industry he's called me, but in the cultural moment that we're living through. And that's what we'll do at Q2017. You're going to hear over 30 talks that we've carefully curated to help you be educated. We know you're busy. We know you don't have time to read all the great articles and every piece of information and book that you need to read. And so we're doing the hard work for you by bringing these people together, commissioning talks that really zero in 9 or 18 minutes on the absolute most information you need to hear to be better equipped to engage the world today. So learn more at qideas.org/2017, and I can't wait to see you there. I hope you were inspired listening to Wayne just describe his story. I'm always amazed at people who take the Bible seriously, who say, literally, I'm going to sell my things. I'm going to move into a community. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to just listen to where there's needs, and I'm going to show up in that. And isn't that what we're all called to do? I mean, in some ways, no matter where we live, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to sell your home in a suburban neighborhood and move somewhere else. But it's to say, I'm going to live where I'm at, and I'm going to actually open my eyes to all of the issues around us. And they're all around us. People are struggling. We know that people are feeling more lonely than ever. We know that people are struggling with anxiety and depression at higher rates than ever. We know that people aren't sure where their next paycheck's going to come from. We know that people are struggling with not understanding how to raise their children and be good parents. We know that people in schools are struggling, and some of the schools in our communities are struggling and don't have enough mentors and people who can care. So what is the call to you? You know, is there a way you can use the gifts, the story, the experience that you've already had in your life to actually serve and help somebody else? I think all of us have an opportunity to do that, but we have to pause and take a moment to reflect and say, God, how would you use me? Well, part of our goal with Q and the show and the discussions that we're able to have and create through this is to help you think well about this, to help you advance good. And so I ask you to do that. And you can learn more about this show and future episodes and past episodes at qideas.org/radio. We love being with you every week, and we thank you for being a listener. We really enjoy the opportunity of getting to expand this message to many people, and we'd ask you to have this conversation this week. Think of a friend, think of your pastor, think of somebody in your church, in your community, and invite them to participate with you to think about how could you be involved in advancing good in your community. Well, until next time, I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you for being a part of Q Ideas, and we'll look forward to being together next time. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.